Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Back to throw, looking left, looking middle, looking to the ground, looking to be sacked, looking to stay alive. Odighizuwa got another one. Osa's not off.
Mike deserves an extension. It's just not the Mike we're talking about. The stuff that Mike Zimmer has been able to do defensively with this Cowboys team is... How would you... I'm curious. I'll share my thoughts here in a sec, but I'm curious for you, Sean. How would you grade the overall Mike Zimmer experience, and do you feel like we need to view it as two separate eras within the season almost? Or do you just look at it as a whole picture of what was this defense throughout the whole year?
This is very tough because this is why I like not being this coach and player ass kisser that some people are in this city.
Peyton.
Because I like want to be right about Mike Zimmer and I want to like Mike Zimmer. I want you and I to be right. Choppy wanted, you know, a newer, younger, whatever, get the older guys out of here. My initial gut react, and then I'm saying to myself, well, shouldn't I judge Mike McCarthy the same way? My first instinct is we should judge it separately. We should judge it based upon injury, newness, familiarity, system getting in place. Then you also do have to judge it against the opponents, right? Like, can't sit here and say, stop overreacting to wins over Washington, the Giants, and the Panthers, and then be giving Mike Zimmer, like, too much praise. But I can make an argument and have a thought in my mind, and then you go against the whole thing of the new coach and new regime should have their say, and this is a Jerry Jones control thing, making you take Jason Garrett, making you take Kellen Moore. It's messed up. But my initial gut reactions are, yes, judge Mike Zimmer separately, and then Mike Zimmer should have an argument to stay here under the new regime no matter who the coach is.
I think if you take...
Everything's so damn difficult around here.
I think if you take the six, arguably the six best defenders, you could probably work Osa in here too. But if you take the six best defenders, I think that you look at that, they've missed significant time.
Oh, yeah.
It's Parsons, Lawrence, Overshown, Kendricks, Diggs, Bland. It's stacked up.
Yeah.
And that's with not only that, like here's the perspective I think you need to have. Top defenders, all six of them. He hasn't had him. Somebody's been missing the entire season. This is a situation where you pretty much had your offense the first 8 weeks of the year, and then Dak got hurt and some other injuries piled up along the way. This is, you never had a game where you had everybody that you were supposed to. And you've had a lot of those guys miss significant time. Your top defensive draft pick that you said, all right, let's bring that guy in here. He's going to help us out a lot. Marshawn Nyland has missed most of the season. You look at the fact that Mozzie Smith, he walked into this with a guy who felt like he was broken between the ears, and you had to kind of repair that and deal with that and work on that. And then it's just a function of you have to figure out what your personnel is. Like you need to figure out, all right, what does Malik Hooker do well? What does Maris Leifau do well? We got Chauncey Golston here. I see they've played him inside and they've played him outside. Which one do I need to play him at? Like, I've got to get a handle on what these guys are. He seemed to really like Damone Clark when he first got to training camp. That he clearly, through experience, said, this is not working. This isn't working, and I can't do this, and so we're moving off of that. So I think a part of this was just he was discovering his personnel. You're right. He didn't even get the chance to really get his hands on Micah until training camp because Micah didn't show up to any of the offseason stuff. And so figuring out how to use Micah, taking the bye week to reflect and tweak some things and do some things differently, I think there's a case to be made that if you view that opening 8 weeks as a time where he's figuring out his team and figuring out his personnel and dealing with the injuries, I think you can say that Mike Zimmer grades out as a success overall as the defensive coordinator this year. Because once he got to the bye week and he said, all right, self-scouting, this is what I have. These are the tweaks that I need to make. These are the changes that I need to make. And we saw him yesterday. There was a play yesterday where Micah Parsons was lined up at three technique defensive tackle. Like we've mentioned before, he's done that a lot recently. But then they had Oso Odighizuwa, who is a damn near 300-pound defensive tackle, and he is exclusively a defensive tackle. On that same rep, he was lined up way outside like a Randy Gregory speed rusher. And that's the kind of different tweaks and changes that Mike Zimmer went to the bye with and said, I got to play with personnel a little bit. I got to do some different things to confuse guys. He did a better job yesterday confusing Bryce Young than Steve Spagnuolo did a couple weeks ago for the Chiefs. And so I think if you view that as he's got to have some time to let this mesh, and it's such a complex defense that he runs, these guys need the time on task to figure it out, then you can say it's been a success.
Is it messed up for Jerry and Steven to tell the new coach, hey, if there is a new coach, Zim has to be your guy? It's messed up, isn't it? That's not the way it should work. I'm not reporting anything. I'm just saying hypothetically, and it has happened around here with other offensive guys, but that's not the way it should work.
Is it messed up that if they bring McCarthy back, the suggestion that we've heard could be, but you don't get to pick your offensive coordinator? Or was it messed up to, like, would that be messed up, do you think?
No, not because Mike's been here. Like, you've been here long enough. I give more latitude to someone that's brand new. It's like, yeah, you should get a chance off the jump to run your program.
I don't think they would ever hire Cliff Kingsbury. I don't think that's who they'd hire. But if you hire Cliff Kingsbury, for instance, I guess it just depends. What kind of coach are we talking about? So if you hire Cliff Kingsbury, you probably feel like, man, he's a guy who he just doesn't know the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
And we can kind of handle that for him. Let's get him, hey, here's our choice. We're just going to make this one. And then you work with that defensive coordinator to fill out the rest of the staff on the defensive side. But the defensive coordinator kind of, you've got two different head coaches, essentially, which is how I feel like they've run things in Dallas now for the last 4 years, where Dan Quinn or Mike Zimmer has been in charge of the defense, and Mike McCarthy, even as head coach, has kind of overseen the offense. And I don't think that's totally unusual around the NFL, that you don't always have guys who are super involved. In fact, that was a criticism near the end, it felt like, of Belichick and some of the issues he had, where it's like, dude, you are so involved in the offensive side of the ball to an extent that it's not cool. Mike McCarthy had said early on, was talking about this a couple years ago, he talked about the worst thing in the world when he first got in the NFL. He said, all I knew is that as an offensive guy, the last thing you wanted is Marty Schottenheimer coming into your offensive meeting rooms asking questions. You wanted to do your job so that Marty didn't come in there as a, you know, the defensive side to come in there and start fiddling around things. Just like, Marty, come on, we got it. We got the offensive side. And he loved Marty Schottenheimer. That was not any sort of a slight, but that's the kind of setup that you have. So I don't think it's necessarily terrible to say, hey,
it's not
depending on who you hire.
Dictatorship.
If you hire Mike Vrabel, who is a defensive coach, and you tell him you don't get to pick your defensive coordinator, that's probably an issue. Now, they've done before, I think when they hired Parcells, they hired Parcells, Jerry didn't tell him he had to keep anybody. He said, I'm not going to tell you you have to keep. He said, I will make one recommendation. I think you should keep Wade Wilson on as the quarterback's coach. And Parcells.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Decline and let him go. Parcells did keep Zimmer, and that was somebody who he had a lot of questions about, and Zimmer won Parcells over because Parcells wanted to run a 3-4. Zimmer had never coached it. Zimmer had these smaller, faster linebackers like Dexter Coakley and Dat Wynn. Bill Parcells said, there's no way I can play with small linebackers. This is not going to work. And by the end of it, Bill Parcells has talked publicly about Dexter Coakley and Dat Wynn were two of my favorite players I ever had in my career. So I think that there's a lot of respect for Zimmer to where I don't think anybody would feel like they were stuck with Zimmer, even if the Cowboys said, we'd like you to keep him on.
Okay.
And so that's where it's at. Now, are you at a point where you say, bring him back? Like, he's in, he should, you can't just one and done this. We've done so much to implement a scheme and a system with defensive players that we've got locked in.
Yeah.
We can't afford to make a shift right now. We need the continuity.
Did it feel like, again, we need to do a first-year study of, like, new coordinators with you know, it would be nice to be even more specific scheme with the topic. Did it take too long for Zimmer's defense to catch on? Like, do we just give, you know, like, a first half of a season pass? You know, are we just being too nice with it?
It's a good question. I think the first seven games of the season, so the first half of the season, seven games and a bye, they had some really awful performances, obviously. New Orleans is bad.
Like, all time. We're going from all time bad to he should come back. All time historically bad in the history of the franchise.
Yeah. No, and it's something that it's wild to think we're sitting here talking about it, but you had a couple awful performances. New Orleans, Baltimore, Detroit, San Francisco. You gave up a ton of yards.
Yeah.
You gave up 432, 456, 492, and 469. It was bad.
Woo!
Since that time, their yardage, and by the way, mixed in there, I know they're bad teams, but still, mixed in there, you gave up 230 yards to the Browns. You gave up 303 to the Giants. You gave up 226 to the Steelers. So you had some stable performances sprinkled around it.
Bad,
but they're bad,
bad offenses.
Since that time, they've given up 310, 348, 391, 412, 247, 433, 235. So they've settled into a little bit more of, I think everybody felt like the Bengals game was a pretty damn good performance from Mike Zimmer, things like that. And they still gave up 433 yards. They gave up 359 yards of passing. So there is a little bit of nuance to where that 432 you gave up to the Saints was a yard less than what you gave up to the Bengals. You gave up 1 yard more to the Bengals than you did to the New Orleans Saints in week two.
Wow.
And yet,
that does not feel the same.
And that's the thing, because we all look at it, I think, and go, yeah, but that's why you can't just read that number. You got to have context for what was happening in the game. They were getting slaughtered against the Saints. They were frustrating the Bengals. The Bengals were having issues getting into some of the things that they wanted to do. So I think there's just a ton of credit to Zimmer. And when we talk about the idea of they're still playing hard for Mike McCarthy, I think that's true, and it's a baseline. It's a very simple request to get that. I don't know that we've talked enough about defensively, their coach is Zimmer. Mike McCarthy's the head coach, but they really are dealing with Zimmer as their oversight, and that defense has kept playing hard. Marist Liafau coming in and playing the way he did in the wake of the Overshown injury, some of the resurgence of Eric Kendricks, some of what they've gotten out of Osa. He's turned Mozzie into a player that people didn't think was possible. Him and I got to give credit as well to Jeff Skinnia, their defensive line coach. But it's something where you look at it and say, they're playing hard for Zimmer on the defensive side of the ball, too. That's a big credit to him and something that at least warrants a discussion about an extension.
Below the belt, what do y'all think? Need a poll question taken with a survey on the Franco & Franco Injury Attorney text line of 877-881-1053. Yes, Zim return. Bring him back. Absolutely not. New regime, if there is one, should get to decide. 877-881-1053.
I'm posting it on Twitter right now. We'll do the update tomorrow.
Excellent. All right, Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, will join us at 9:20. One of the greatest announcers of all time said that yesterday determined that there was a new America's team. See if you agree with this next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.